Door opens, and a man who can only be the Prince of Ravens glides into the room. He is so beautiful, with pale hair and eyes that glitter like diamonds, that I can only believe my eyes are deceiving me. His nearly translucent skin is flawless, his muscles well-honed and displayed to perfection, even though he's wearing a robe made of raven feathers and brushed with stardust. A crown of shadows rests upon his head. 100 pairs of red eyes within its depths, glowing like rubies as they watch the world with undiluted glee. On his hands are strips of metal, one for every finger. Each strip arcs into a sharpened claw at the tip. His power intensifies, his shadows growing darker, the hum of evil ringing in my ears. Xi, Victor, and Javier are forced to their knees. In the cage, Killian struggles to rise into a crouch, refusing to look as if he's begging. Were I standing and at full strength, I don't think I would have had the same reaction. When his shadows bump up against my grid, they cringe and flee. Hope ignites. There might not be a better time to kill this man. Scratch that. He's not a man. He's an otherworldly being. There might not be a better time to kill this otherworldly being. I've never been this close to him. May never be this close again. Just need to break free. Ugh! Though I struggle, my bonds hold firm. Come on, come on, fight harder. Ambergen destroyed the bridge that once connected Troika and Myriad. He promises a better life, filled with excitement and untold pleasures. But he lies, cheats, and steals. He can't be trusted to maintain a truce, has proven himself treacherous at every turn. He claims he enforces no rule but one. Myriad comes first. And yet, he doesn't always follow his own rule. He comes first. His wants, his desires. He's selfish to the extreme, dooming his people to eternal war and endless torment in many ends. Majesty. Xi lumbers to his feet as the Second King's shadows thin. We are humbled by your presence. Ambergen must control the intensity of power he exudes. He can crank it up or let it simmer. I highly doubt he revealed the true depths of his strength just now. Why show all of your cards at once, when I'm already captured and restrained? Why not save the best for last? I'm not going to be able to kill him. Am I? Hope withers, and fury ignites. No. No! I will not give up. This man, this being, is the epitome of hate. Hate will never be stronger than love. Long ago, Ambergen allowed envy to lead him, and chose to betray his brother. Over the centuries, he has grown worse, darker. In the end, his home mirrored his soul, a cesspool of jealousy and greed. He sends his own people to many ends when they experience second death, just because he can. Maybe because he likes their pain. A person like that, he will not defeat me. Even if I'm faced with pain and the loss of my life, I will still choose what is right. I will choose love at the cost of everything. Victor stands and nods a greeting to his father. Javier beams with something akin to hero worship. The Second King glances at Killian and nods with approval. Majesty, Killian says through gritted teeth, I would like to speak with you privately about... Be silent. The Second King flicks a finger, and a shadow appears over Killian's mouth. Killian's eyes go wide. He begins to shake as if a new round of electricity is flowing. He's fighting against the shadow, I realize. But he's weak and soon deflates. His emotions do nothing to help. I feel the sting of rejection and dejection along the grid. My stomach sinks, even as my heart aches. He pinned all his hopes on his king, and this is his reward. Ambergen turns those diamond eyes on me, staring me down, but I refuse to cower. I'd rather die. Well, well, he says. My hatred for him is reflected back at me. Finally, I meet the little girl who's going to win the war for me. Let's get started, shall we?
Troika. From L_R_3/51.3.15. 2. j_a_3/19.37.30, s_c_3/50.4.13, c_m_3/5.20.1, y_l_3/59.1.2, a_s_3/42.6.31, t_b_3/19.30.2, b_s_3/51.3.13, m_v_3/54.5.8, j_b_3/19.23.4, s_j_3/62.5.5, m_p_3/45.10.9, a_t_3/23.40.29. Subject: New Conduits. We've heard the rumors about Miss Lockwood and Mr. Aarons becoming something known as an architect. Now we've seen proof. Ronan Aarons has turned other Troikans into conduits. Archer Prince, Deacon Williams, Clayton Anders, Reed Hainsworth, and Clementine Vickers. I think Kayla Brooks, a known traitor, is on the verge of changing as well. She grows brighter every hour. Though Mr. Aarons has tried, he was unable to turn a single general into a conduit. Why? I've reached out to Aaron but have not received a response. If we're going to overcome this new penumbra attack, we need more conduits. We need us. Light brings sight. General Luciana Rossi.
Troika. From a_t_3/23.40.29. 2. l_r_3/51.3.15. j_a_3/19.37.30. s_c_3/50.4.13. c_m_3/5.20.1. y_l_3/59.1.2. a_s_3/42.6.31. t_b_3/19.30.2. b_s_3/51.3.13. m_v_3/54.5.8. j_b_3/19.23.4. s_j_3/62.5.5. m_p_3/45.10.9. Subject: I disagree. For a Myriadian general, turning an ordinary citizen into abrogate requires self-sacrifice, and the sacrifice might not even work. All they can do is infect a single person with penumbra and hope for the best. Like Miss Lockwood, I will name the disease without fear. Yet we must sacrifice no one for our advancement, and an architect can turn more than one person. That is the difference between light and dark. Light builds up. Dark tears down. And Miss Brooks is a former traitor. There's a difference. Aaron has forgiven her. So should we. We should be celebrating our victories rather than envying our members. We are leaders. So, let's lead. The people Ronan has succeeded in turning into conduits? The people aiding Miss Lockwood. We have done nothing but hinder her. And before you ask, hinder her from doing what? I'll tell you. She craves peace between the realms. Perhaps we should consider the same? I know. We tried to facilitate peace eons ago, only to endure one ambush after another. But at this very moment, I can almost hear Miss Lockwood screaming inside my head that the answer is simple. Myriad needs a new second king. The head directs the body. Is this worth considering? As for the warehouses, I have good news and bad news. I'll start with the good. We have unexpected help. Sloane Aubuchon managed to fight her way free of the pole. She's doing her best to deactivate the many alarms. If a single one is triggered, every potential abrogate in all 18 warehouses will wake. A buckler will fall around the buildings, trapping our men inside while allowing the humans to leave. Be ready to act at a moment's notice. Bad news. Someone told Myriad about our architects, new conduits, and our plan to sneak inside the warehouses and cleanse the infected before anyone knows we've been inside. The bucklers we've placed around the buildings will not hold much longer. Light brings sight. General Alejandro Torres.
Chapter 16. Do not wait for what you want. Take what you want. Myriad. 10. Hours pass. Perhaps days. One agonizing moment bleeds into another. If Javier isn't flooding me with darkness, Victor is electrocuting me. My muscles aren't just cooked. They're burnt to a crisp. The blood in my veins boils. I have no light, no strength, and I desperately need both. But I can't drop my shield. I just can't. Javier will flood my friends with darkness before they can fill me with light. Killian has fared no better. He's as soaked in lifeblood and sweat as I am. His lips are gnawed to ribbons, and multiple bones are broken from the strain of clenching muscles. Again and again he's threatened to murder every man in this room. Each threat more brutal than the last. He kicked off with decapitation, then vivisection, and finally ended with peeling everyone like an onion. Now he's a panting, sweaty mess, and he's watching me. For a moment, only a moment, and I think I see gut-wrenching guilt, soul-shattering regret and agony. Mostly he radiates determination. His nostrils are flared, and a vein is bulging in his forehead, as if he's exerting pressure. And yet, he's sitting perfectly still. I wonder if he's attempting to help me? If he's the reason I'm able to hold the shield despite my weakness? Too little, too late. Love. Always love, even in the face of the worst betrayal. How is she doing this? Javier demands. Perhaps he would have succeeded already, forcing his shadows along my section of the grid, if not for his anger, frustration, and embarrassment. He hates that he is failing in front of his new king, and his emotions are getting the better of him. Though my jaw is nearly unhinged, my tongue swollen, I manage to slur. Easily. You're weak. You can't... Slap. Win. I finish. If I can push him over the edge, he'll no longer pose a threat. Slap. Slap! If I link to her, she will die instantly, Ambergene says, anger crackling in his tone. She's of no use to us dead. Yet. Try harder, G snaps at Javier. Don't be afraid to break her. Victor clenches his fists, and it's clear he wants to be the one tormenting me. Break her! With a roar, Javier shoves his palms against my temples. He uses so much force, I'm pretty sure my skull cracks. Thousands more shadows flood my mind, each one beating at my shield. Every strike sends a lance of pain through my head, and I scream and scream and scream. Unconsciousness beckons, but even still the shield holds strong. But Archer's voice is stronger and fills my head. 10! Drop the shield! Now! No! Can't! You won't. Exactly. I won't risk you. Trust us. Please, let us fight him for you. I won't. Zero. I won't. If my friends fail, Myriad will prevail, and Troika will lose the war. I love them too much to risk them. We'll fight. On my own. No, not alone. Aaron is with me always. Yes? And Killian is here. The shadows. So many shadows. I'm consumed by hatred for Ambergene, and an icy determination to defeat him. I won't give in. Won't give these men the satisfaction of defeating me. Revenge is sweet. Let me in, Javier snarls. Die! I laugh in his face, knowing there's a fresh coat of lifeblood on my teeth. Hissing, he hits with another blast of darkness. Still, I laugh. Oh, how I adore making these men shrivel up with frustration. Although, I don't know how much longer I can hold out. I'm exhausted, utterly drained. Without the shadows, I would have caved already. You, the Second King says in a chilling tone. He glares at Killian, who is drenched in sweat. Cut and bruised, and barely able to hold up his head. If you want out of your cage, you'll gather what remains of your strength. Break through her barriers, and allow my abrogate entrance. Do this for your realm. Do this for your king. Oh no, 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 no. Swallowing my panicked pleas, I peer at Killian, beseeching him. I want to shout through our bond, don't do this, please don't do this! But I remain silent. Strong or weak, he can use our link to orchestrate my doom. The shadows laugh, gleeful, as fear squeezes my throat and air wheezes from my mouth. Killian's gaze remains glued to the Second King. You lied to me, and locked me up. His voice is raspy, as broken as mine. Of course, I trust you to keep your word now. Ambergene's features twist with disgust. Must you sound so poor when speaking to me? He lifts his chin. The end justifies the means. Lies are sometimes necessary to facilitate a desired result. You know this. If you put your realm first, as you once swore to do, you would understand. No, you would welcome the sacrifice I'm asking you to make. Terrible silence. Killian flicks me an unreadable glance, and my heart sinks. Please, Killian, don't do it. Lies, Killian says, his voice roughened by abuse, are never necessary. Trust is too important. Seconds pass before his meaning clicks. My heart flies. He knows he picked the wrong team. He's going to fight for me, not against me. Unless this is another trick? Could be. Must remain guarded at all times, with everyone. I love him, but trust is another story. Enough. The Second King's crown of shadows splits in two and slides down his arms, stretches past his hands, and culminates into razor points. You, leader, he says to Xi. If your man cannot break Miss Lockwood, then we will kill the humans infected with Penumbra. Those who exhibit the traits of an abrogate. What? Does he not know the names of his own people, and yet he knows mine? The warehouses are currently surrounded by Troikan armies, Xi replies. Perfect, the Second King smiles. We'll use the abrogates to kill them, too. Cursing, Javier drops his hands to his sides. He's panting, unable to catch his breath. Archer, stop trying to give me light. Tell our generals that Ambergene is sending men to the warehouses to kill the infected so they can try to infiltrate my grid, harming everyone in Troika. We aren't giving up, Ten. You need light! He roars as he continues to push. Then a gentle voice whispers through my head, startling me. Love my Ten. Jeremy, for one moment my defenses are down. A ray of light glides past my shield, along the grid, and rains over me like ice-cold water on a scorching summer day. I jolt. The ray came from my little brother, didn't it? My infant brother? Not by force, but by love. I can't let Javier get to him and fight with every ounce of my newfound strength to fortify the shield. Must protect Jeremy. If Javier senses any vulnerability inside me...
What just happened? Victor demands.
What just happened? A demand from Archer. Javier's eyes narrow on me,
Leaning forward, he sniffs me. Somehow, she received a bolt of light. How? Imogen walks a circle around me. He seems to glide, his grace unparalleled. I have worked hard to ensure there are no sources of light in this realm. He has worked hard, meaning there were once sources of light for Myriadians. The grid, Victor says. Her friends. They love each other. Impossible, she replies. All three males stare at me, as if I'm a rat in a lab. Though it strains already strained muscles, I keep my chin lifted high. Not by word or deed will I reveal my inner turmoil. Reveal a weakness, they'll exploit it, and more. With the light came strength, yes, but also knowledge. Knowledge is power. I fought too hard for control of my second life, and I won't allow my future to fall to ruins at the hands of men who see no value in me, and no worth in anyone willing to break the cycle of darkness and pave a better path for a better future. How often they disparage Troikens for their rules. Too restricting. All work, no play. But at the heart of those rules, love. Love fellow spirits, love humans, love yourself. While these men tout indulgence and self-love, they punish anyone who dares put themselves before the realm. Hypocrites. The Second King stares at me for a long while. An obvious attempt at intimidation. Fear of any kind cranks his chain. Perhaps even strengthens him. Shadows. Feeding. When I refuse to cower, he snaps. Cage her, and put her in the town square until our new abricates arrive. Let my people witness the weakness of Troika's strongest soldier. My cheeks heat with humiliation, but I force myself to laugh, as if he's just offered me a tropical vacation. Say goodbye to your PB&J. At his confused look, I add, one day, I'm going to knock your penis, brain, and jaw right off your... slap. Stars wink before my eyes. Javier gets in my face, his nose pressed against mine. Give me another crack at her. Though he's speaking to his second king, he's glaring at me. I can get through. I know I can. If that were true, you would have done so already. Instead, you did nothing but waste our time. Imogen wipes an invisible piece of lint from his shoulder. Admit it. The girl can't even stand without assistance, and yet she bested you. You should be on your knees begging for your life, not demanding a favor. A vein throbs in the center of Javier's forehead. He pops his jaw, but he says no more. Xi clears his throat. And what would you have me do with Mr. Flynn? Victor steps forward, shoulders squared. I would like to keep him. Consider him a gift from a beloved father to his loyal son. I almost shout, no, 1,000 times no. Victor has a score to settle, and he won't hesitate to hurt Killian in order to hurt me. For the 3rd or 4th time, my gaze locks with Killian's. I've lost track. How unlike me. I'm not even sure how many seconds pass as I stare into soulful gold eyes, flecked with electric blue. They are filled with hurt. So much hurt. All ingrained. In my mind. I see the little boy who desperately craved a family of his own. Who faced rejection over and over again. The nightmare of his childhood is being relived here today. Rejected and abandoned by his king. No friend at his back. I have Archer, Clay, and the others. Killian has no one. He had me, but he threw my trust away.
You hardly deserve a reward for your most recent failures, Imogen tells Victor. Then he sighs. However, you did ruin several cities in Troika. So, you may have the caged boy for the rest of the day. Do what you will with him, as long as you do not kill him. He's still connected to the girl.
Having delivered his verdict, he glides from the room on a carpet of shadows. Maybe I've been stripped of sanity, because the first thought I have, Drama King. A hysterical laugh bubbles from me. On a mission, Xi marches my way.
Do you think you've won a reprieve, Miss Lockwood? Is that why you dare to laugh?
He reaches out, clasps my chin in his hand, and forces my gaze to meet his.
You, girl, are a fool.
The moment his skin touches mine, a scene flashes inside my head, and I gasp. I'm not bonded to this man. Or perhaps I am through Killian. Or perhaps Xi's actions against me form some kind of twisted tie between us. Perhaps my new status as architect comes with perks. Again, I see a dark-haired little boy. But this time the image has nothing to do with Killian. This boy is no more than 10 years old, perched at the edge of a bed, trembling. Like Xi, he has dark eyes with a ring of ebony around the edge. Realization, not like Xi at all. The boy is Xi. Tears slip down his cheeks, but he's careful to swallow his whimpers so that he never makes a sound. There's a cut on his lip, and drops of crimson blood drying on his chin, proving he's human. There's also a knot in his jaw. His father paces in front of him, his fisted hands smeared with crimson, his blood as well as his son's. The last time he punched, Xi's teeth cut into his knuckles.
"We are Troikans," his father snarls. "Your visit to the Myriadian Center has shamed us. Our loyalty will be questioned now. How could you do this to us?"
Because I don't want to be like you," Xi whispers. Then he raises his head, emboldened by hatred and defiance.
"Ingrate fool!"
his father backhands him.
"You would be so lucky."
Xi withers under the new onslaught of pain, but as quickly as the scene manifested, it vanishes. I stare at him now, at the adult he's become. Knowledge is power. I understand his hatred for Troikans. It was beaten into him. Words are either seeds or water. What is spoken is planted in the rich soil of a human heart. What is spoken again is poured over the seed, and in time, that seed sprouts. Roots grow, a trunk, branches, leaves, fruit. Like produces like. Speak evil, reap a harvest of evil. Can't see the forest for the trees. Soon, if the tree isn't uprooted, the fruit will be eaten and shared. We must break the cycle. Help create a better path for a better future. Whatever Xi sees in my expression unnerves him. The compassion I can't help but feel. His hand falls away, and he steps back, widening the distance between us. There are good and bad Troikans. Every word scrapes my raw throat. Same with Myriad. Good and bad. Though I'm still waiting to meet a good one. From the corner of my eye, I see Killian flinch, as if he's been punched. Oops, sorry. But truth is truth. Want to know what's similar between us? We all have baggage, even our enemies. I get it now. Even when I don't understand why someone does what they do, or why they make the choices that they do, I must choose love. Their actions cannot dictate my reaction, and that goes double for Killian.
"You shut your mouth," Xi snaps. "And you," he says to Javier, "let her down."
Javier glares at me before holding up one arm. The shadows release my wrists and ankles, and I topple to the floor. What little oxygen I've managed to draw in leaves me in a single burst. Victor stalks to me, leaving his shell behind. He is pale and sickly thin, with tiny nubs growing at the ends of his arms. Hardly matters. He doesn't need hands to hurt me. Now that I'm on the floor, too weak to stand, he kicks out his leg, his boot nailing me in the stomach. My already empty lungs deflate, and another shower of stars winks before my eyes. Just like that, my resolve to love and not hate is put to the test. He draws back his foot to deliver another kick. He topples before contact, his face smashing into the ground. I peer beyond him to Killian, whose arm is sticking out of the cage, the wire from his wrist cuff extended and wrapped around Victor's ankle. No time for Xi or Javier to react. With another yank from Killian, the wire cuts through muscle, catching on bone, nearly removing Victor's entire foot. A scream of anguish rents the air. Xi unsheaths a blade and hacks the wire in two. Panting, sweating, Victor reaches for me. I spin around and punt him in the face. Yes, I'm determined to love my enemies. No, I won't allow others to abuse me. The muscles in my thigh quake and burn, the bones threatening to crack. Agony sears me, but I brace, ready to deliver another kick if necessary. Snarling, he reaches for me again, but this time Xi steps in the way.
Enough,
the leader says and motions to Javier. Though Javier is vibrating with rage, he remains quiet as he helps Victor stand and hobble back to his shell.
You just made the biggest mistake of your life, Flynn,
Victor smiles.
Did you forget?
I own you now.
Killian doesn't pull his gaze from me, and through the bridge between us I feel a frisson of strength, as if he was returning the light I gave him.
I am the fool, Victor. I deserve what you do to me. I only wish you were more like your brother. Archer is dead,
Victor snarls,
in the grave where he belongs.
You don't think he fused with a human? I ask, batting my lashes at him. A slow smile curves Killian's beautiful lips. He experienced resurrection. He's alive and well. In a blink, Victor is as stiff as a statue.
No, there were two generals. The people would not vote for a lowly laborer.
The people didn't, I say, trying to stand. My legs are jelly and refuse to hold me, and I crash back to the floor.
Zero. The honor of the selection was given to me. And guess what? He's a conduit.
Because of my predicament, the enormity of the development managed to escape me until just this moment. Now I rejoice. Princess Marie, Archer, Ronan, Clay, Reed, Clementine, Kayla, even Sloane. We are a team. In a single day, Troika went from two conduits to seven. The rainbow has seven colors. Seven means completeness and perfection, both of the physical plane and the spiritual. Now there is one conduit for each city. Coincidence? Coincidence, schmincidence.
Impossible.
Victor gives a violent shake of his head.
Even if it's true.
Javier's chest puffs up before he bends down and hefts me into his arms.
I will destroy them all. No one is my match.
I want to fight him, but don't. I must pick my battles. Here. Now. I'm well aware of the fact that I don't have the strength to win. But, as soon as Javier leaves me in the town square, I can lower my shield to receive light from my friends without reservation. A veritable torrent of light. I'll strengthen. I'll plot. Plan. Tomorrow. When, if other abrogates arrive, I'll be ready.
Chapter 17. Corruption happens gradually, a slow fade of light as darkness creeps in. Troika. Killian. Once I considered myself pain. Today I am rage. It fills me, consumes me, and darkens every corridor of my mind. Most of it is self-directed. I've done many despicable things in my ever-life, but this is by far the worst. My actions led to Ten's capture and torture. While Javier Diaz attempted to gain access to the Troikan grid, I could only lament my part in her pain. As I chastised myself for not trusting her, a new memory assailed me. Just one. Not nearly enough. Ten stood before me, her back to my front. She was human, and on the verge of becoming drunk. I was in a shell. We were both prisoners in sight of Prin. Unwillingly on her part, willingly on mine. I'd signed up in order to spend time with her and convince her to make covenant with Myriad. Erica was there too, only she was in spirit form, so Ten couldn't see her. Erica leaned over to whisper into the human's ear,
"His towering height is a very good thing. There's nothing to be afraid of, and maybe you should hold onto his shirt, for balance."
An effort to influence her. All Ten's ears failed to hear the words, her spirit picked up everything. That's how flankers, a subdivision of messengers, worked.
"Are you ready for me?"
Ten asked me. "Can anyone ever be ready for you, lass?" I replied, and even then I'd been scared of the truth. I wasn't ready for her. "But don't worry, I won't let you get hurt. You have my word." Finally, she trusted me enough to fall into my arms. When I caught her, I spun her around.
If Erica hadn't been there, I would have kissed Ten then and there. Even then I wanted her, craved her like a drug. I might have kept my word that day, but I have broken it many times since. I made a terrible mistake today. I trusted the wrong people, betrayed the wrong girl, an innocent girl. Once she saw something great in me, she looked at me with adoration and admiration, even hope. When Javier carried her out of the small room, she cast me a final glance, one laced with wariness and suspicion. That glance hurt in ways I never imagined possible. The electricity might have burned my body, but Ten's look burned my soul. I've lost something precious, her trust. And for what? Imprisonment, degradation, and pain, all of which I deserve. But she does not. My hands fist. Determination rises inside me, an undeniable tide. Those who hurt her will pay. I will make sure of it. And I will do whatever proves necessary to win back her trust. First, I will escape. Then, I will save her. First King help Myriad, then. I will torch the realm and never look back. Let's get you more comfortable, shall we? Victor Prince clutches the edge of my cage, a cage tangible to both spirits and shells, and drags me through the door. Despite the injuries his spirit sustained, his shell is strong. The outer casing is meant to shield us through the worst of times, like a type of armor. Revenge might not be Ten's thing, but it is mine. Forgive. Let the light illuminate your path and order your steps. The other side of me, a side I ignore. As I'm hauled through a hallway, down an elevator, outside the building and through a stairwell, my rage continues to blaze. Every step he takes only serves as kindling. I want to maim and kill him. I will maim and kill him. I will also maim and kill Xi, Javier, and even Ambergene, after I save Ten. And the town square shall be used as an example, love Troika and suffer, as if she hasn't suffered enough. While Javier did his best to invade her grid, she remained strong as a rock, astounding me. No wonder I once fell in love with her. She is the only Ten in a world of ones. She endured excruciating pain in order to protect her people, and despite her distress, distress I, too, experienced firsthand, certain I would die at any moment. She fought, a warrior to her core, and she won. Now I will win, or I will die trying. Victor drags me through a crowded section of the city of Carnal Delights, the carnival. More dragons fly overhead, streams of fire like fireworks. There's a kissing booth, and even an orgasm booth. Come one, come all. Every game involves stripping. Lose the severed hand toss and you have to remove an article of clothing. Lose whack a prisoner and you have to remove an article of clothing. So really, everyone wins. Except the spirits in the kennels, of course. They provide the severed hands, and they are the ones who get beaten with a barbed wire-covered baseball bat. There are rides. The carousel showcases shell versions of Troikan generals on their hands and knees. Bumper cars fly around an arena, smashing into replicas of famous Troikan landmarks, and a zipline offers a tour of the entire realm. Snacks are sold. Cotton ambrosia, fried ambrosia, ambrosia corn and ambrosia cakes, even ambrosia bacon. As a child, I often snuck out of the center of learning to play here. No one paid me any attention then, and no one pays me any attention now. I don't bother shouting for help. I know these people. I won't be aided. I'll be mocked. Victor takes me through another stairwell, then a gate, and we enter the capital of Bliss, also known as the Cob. The air smells of chocolate, champagne, and sex, the most basic indulgences. Skyscrapers, cottages, and pyramids are scattered throughout. For our poorer citizens, those who refuse to fight in the war, there are warehouses or communal living spaces. Here, crowds stop and stare at us, everyone dressed in the era of their death. Be you, be free. Some people laugh at me, others look at me with pity. Once, both reactions would have sent me over the edge. I would have ranted and raved. Having been raised in the learning center, abandoned by my father, overlooked by other families, I craved the good opinion of others, desperate for acceptance. Now I see the truth. I wanted to be admired, but I also wanted to make everyone who'd ever overlooked me sorry for doing so. Another type of revenge. At this moment, the opinions of others, of strangers, mean nothing to me. These people have no bearing on who I am or what I'm worth. With my actions and words, I decide my worth, and after everything I've done to Tin, I'm not worth much, but I'm going to change that. Escape. Save Tin. Kill our enemies. Rescue the survivors in many ends, including my mother. It's time to face facts. Myriadians lie. The end justifies the means, Ambrosine said. What he meant? Sometimes, for the greater good, evil is necessary. But he's wrong. Evil is never necessary. It will never help the masses, will only ever hurt. And lies are evil, the very language of malevolence. If the Second King will lie about little things, he will most assuredly lie about big things, like fate and fusion. Again and again, Tin has proven herself trustworthy. That is why I will follow her wherever she leads. That is why I will trust her, no matter what the circumstance might be. If I had a team, I would ask others for help, might even beg. Anything for Tin. But there's no one here willing to offer aid or watch my back. My fault. Like Ambrosine, I lied to the people closest to me to advance my own agenda. Never again. I will be the man Tin wants, the man she needs, the man she deserves. Victor enters another stairwell. In order to pass through this one, however, he must endure an ID test. He places his hand on a data pad, and a machine reads the chip, embedded in his shell's wrist. As soon as he's cleared, we enter the most coveted neighborhood in Myriad, hence its name, the Coveted. All of the Second King's children live here. This is where all generals live as well, and where all abrogates will live when they arrive. This is where I have wanted to live my entire life. Mansions, castles, and palaces abound. There isn't a hut or a shack in the bunch. Victor lives in a palace that makes the most exquisite building in the land of the harvest look like a hovel. A bridge leads to a towering golden statue of his likeness. On either side is a wild, rushing waterfall that flows into a rocky moat. Ambrosia trees fill the courtyard and sweeten the air. Myriad's emblem is carved in walls made of crystal. Servants stand outside, opening the doors as he approaches. "Leave us!" he barks. The pitter-patter of rushing footsteps sounds as guards and maids rush to obey, dodging opulent furnishings framed by a plethora of precious gems. A Florentine ebony chest inlaid with rubies, a table made entirely of sapphires, a diamond-encrusted sofa with a solid gold frame. But the prince's most prized possession, an alabaster display case with a man pelt inside. I've heard the story about the pelt a million times. Everyone has. Over the eons, Ambrosine and his brother Aeron have met twice to discuss a peace treaty. At least Aeron, the Prince of Doves, believed peace was the goal. The first time, Ambrosine betrayed and skinned his brother. The second time, after Aeron's skin had grown back, Ambrosine rinsed and repeated. He would have killed Aeron if he could have, but Aeron survived. One pelt hangs in the Temple of Unholies as a display of Ambrosine's strength. He must have given the other pelt to Victor as a thank you for bombing Troika. Once I bought into the hype, believing true strength came from a willingness to do whatever proved necessary to achieve victory. No longer. If the means is unjust, nothing justifies it. However, I'm not looking for justification right now. Victor sets my cage in the center of the room, a loud clang assaulting my overly sensitive ears. I'm not yet healed from all those volts of electricity. I search my surroundings and find one of my shells stands next to the display case. On the coffee table rests a remote and a large metal tong. No question, it's for my neck. Like the cage, the tong is made for both spirit and shell. He prepared for this, I realize. He planned to take over my care all along. With a smile, he lifts the remote and flips a switch. Suddenly the cage is electrified, one volt after another spearing me in place. Even when the volts die down, I'm unable to move. Tremors continue to rack me, and I know Tin is enduring the same. Payback will hurt. Him. His smile grows ever wider as he opens the cage and uses the tong to drag me out. He forces my spirit to slip inside the shell, and there's nothing I can do to stop him. Some force greater than myself acts as a magnet, holding me inside. When he releases the tong, a metal collar remains around my neck, and the magnetic charge intensifies, ensuring I'm stuck inside my new prison. A prison bound to the wall with the same kind of shadows Javier used on Ten. The dark bands wrap around the wrists and ankles. I'm having fun already. He unsheaths a knife and stabs me in the stomach. Are you? My lips part on a grunt of pain. While a shell usually mutes the sensations a spirit feels, negative or positive, I'm overly sensitized. I feel everything. Which means Ten feels everything. My poor sweet lass. Revenge. I will make your brain leak through your eyes until you cry your thoughts. I tell him calmly. As lifeblood pours from my wound, weakening me further, he steps back to survey his handiwork. You look good with extra holes. Let's add a few more, shall we? Go ahead, do it. Just know I'll repay you 100-fold for every slice. Brave talk for a prisoner. He sinks the blade into my other side, and as I hiss, Victor wipes my lifeblood on his leather pants. You should lighten up. This isn't personal. I have a lot of anger issues with your girl, and not a lot of time to exercise them. Poor baby. Are you angry because she kicked your ass? Twice? Rage flares in his eyes. A reflection of my own? He punches me in the chest, right over my heart, warping the next beat. Then, deceptively calm, he asks, What do you see in her? You can find a pretty girl anywhere, any time, and really, they all look the same in the dark. So what turns you and Archer into fools whenever this one steps into a room? Easy. She has proven loyal, selfless, and kind. Three things I never knew I admired until now. Things you'll never be. He laughs a little. You make us sound like a dog. Which is why dogs are often better than people. Another flare of rage, another punch in the chest. Forgive. Win with light. Again the other side of me speaks up. This time as I fight for breath I actually listen. I want to win. Obviously fighting fire with fire doesn't work. You must fight fire with water. Only light can chase away darkness. Right now, there's only one person who might share her light with me. Hating myself, I push my voice along the bridge that's connecting me to Ten. I need your light, lass. Archer's too. Actually, any light anyone in Troika can spare. Please, I dunna deserve it. I know this, but I'm asking anyway. It's the only way I know to save you. Seconds tick by without a response, and I fear she's given up on me. One more chance. I need one more chance. I won't mess up, not again. I'll pour everything I've got, everything I am, into this. Finally, her soft voice whispers over the grid. Or you hope to weaken me further, and do what Javier failed to do, destroy Troika through me. The accusation cuts deeper than Victor's blows. But just like Victor's blows, it is deserved. Please, lass, I know I've done you wrong, but I need the chance to do you right. This is the only way. Only Killian Flynn can be pervy and apologetic at the same time. It's a gift. She's going to trust me, at least in this. I wait, hopeful, ready to be flooded with light, but one minute ticks into another and the darkness remains as thick as ever. Too weak. Decided not to trust me after all. I'm not currently connected to Archer. I got my light from... Never mind. Ready? A moment passes in silence. This must be how Archer felt when he tried to send me light. You're shielded. Drop the shield, Killian. Shielded? A fist slams into my jaw, my head whipping to the side. Are you paying attention? Victor demands. Or are you going to tell me I'm hitting like a girl? I would never lie so outrageously. I mean, you'll need to hit a lot harder if you want to be compared to a girl. My words prick his pride, and once again rage explodes inside his eyes. Shouting obscenities, spittle spraying from the corners of his mouth, he wails on me, slamming his fist into my face again and again. With every new blow, my pain magnifies, more lifeblood leaking from me, my skin shredding inside and out. What's worse, I can feel Ten's pain, almost my undoing. You want this to stop? Victor runs his tongue over his teeth. Beg me, then. Beg me, and I'll stop. I can't. He's read my file. I know he has. Even the parts Archer deleted. There's always a backup. Victor knows the General made me beg, then never followed through. He won't follow through either. Would Ten beg for my life just for the chance to save me pain? You picked the wrong team, Killian. In Myriad, you could have become someone of means who makes a difference. In Troika, you will never be accepted. You'll always be the butcher. Maybe, maybe not. But how will I know unless I give everyone a chance? How will I know if I don't fight for better? The truth is, people who are hurt oftentimes choose to hurt others, whether wittingly or unwittingly. Either way, it's a vicious cycle. By maiming and killing him, I will perpetuate the problem. Perhaps Ten did manage to share her light with me. Perhaps I possess a reservoir of light and just didn't realize it. Miracle of miracles, my desire for vengeance has begun to fade. But then darkness is never a match for light. The two do not tangle up. As soon as light comes, darkness cannot remain the sole focus. My shields drop. Suddenly a beam of light zooms across the grid, followed by another and another. Tan's voice fills my head. Thank the First King, I've opened the link with Archer. We're giving you all we've got. Victor lands his next blow and bellows with pain. He stumbles away from me. At the same time, the shadows in my head scramble, desperate to hide. The shadows around my wrists and ankles loosen, fall away. The collar around my neck clinks open and thuds on the floor. For a moment, only a moment, I'm bathed in pure light. Not just light, but a rainbow of light. More real than the shell I'm housed in or the air I'm breathing. It is brilliant, luminous, glorious. Hope and beauty and vibrant technicolor. Everything my life has been missing. Everything I never knew I needed. The light heals my wounds, strengthens my body, and fades. Like one of my memories, it vanishes, all used up. I mourn the loss. Light is like food, I realize. One meal will never be enough to truly live. My eyes narrow as I focus on Victor. Another gift of the light. The magnetic charge is gone. I can move in and out of the shell at will. I can move, period. Before he can puzzle through what's happened, I yank the blade from his grip. The old me would have smiled at him, the same cold smile he's leveled on me so many times. I would have stabbed him, gifting him with wounds similar to my own, but I'm not the old me. Because of Ten, I've been made new. 1 + 10 = 11. 1 + 1 = 2. 2 is better than 1. We are better together. In a single fluid movement, I pick up the metal collar and dive for Victor. As our shells crash together, he's ready for me and throws a punch. A split second after I block, we land. He takes the brunt of impact, his skull knocking into the marble tiles, disorienting him. Wasting no time, I throw a punch. Or 4. My rings rip through his skin, lifeblood seeping from him. I have forgiven him, yes, but that doesn't mean I have to let him go free. He must be stopped. When he is sufficiently disoriented, I scramble up, my knees pinning his shoulders. Once again, I hammer my fist into his face. With my actions, my rage attempts to resurface and overtake me. But I fight it off with the same fierceness I fight Victor, maintaining a clear head. Ten was right. Emotion clouds judgment. Alive, Victor can be used. Now I grin, a plan beginning to form. The change in my expression frightens him. Good. Please, he croaks. Well, well, look at him beg. You mean I should show you mercy when you showed none to me? Teeth bite into my skin, cutting into my knuckles, but I never pause. He bats at my arms, at first. Apparently you have no heard of sowing and reaping. What are you sowing right now? You chose to forgive him, now act like it. A curse spills from my lips, but I raise my arms in the air, ending the assault. His body goes lax as his head lolls to the side. Taking no chances, I hurriedly step out of my shell, pull his spirit out of his, and switch places with him. That done, I snap the collar around his neck. It's odd, enslaving a shell with my face. Next, I wrap a cloth around his eyes to hide the color of his irises, hook a muzzle over his mouth to keep him quiet, and anchor his hands behind his back. "Dunna think to blame me for this," I tell his unconscious form, no longer fighting my accent. "Had he let me go with 10, this would have never happened. Your need for vengeance drove you straight to your doom." A sense of urgency propels me from my new shell. I strip, thankful there are mirrors everywhere. I study my tattoos, line, 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 image. A woman's face, gentle, serene, even as tears of blood drip down her cheeks. One of those tears splashes onto one of the lines. A memory clicks into place. The location of a stash of Troikan-made weapons. Things capable of hurting fellow Myriadians. Forbidden items. The penalty for having one, much less an arsenal, is death. I look over the rest of my body. Click, click, click. All excellent items. Myriadian weapons. Extra ambrosia. Shells. But none will help me now. Then I turn, look over my shoulder and scan my back. Again I discard one buried treasure after another. Click. A universal key. Yes, that. I can use it to free 10 from the town square. First king save the realm then. I won't stop until every inch of Myriad is laid to waste. Forgive. Save. A demand from the other side of me. The light side. I forgave Victor because I sympathize with his past. I know the pain hiding in his heart. Been there, done that. But I don't think I can forgive Ambergene. Too much betrayal, on too wide a scale. You must break the cycle of betrayal. Can I? I'm a new man, but old habits die hard. Jaw locked, I dress, return to Victor's shell, and head off. I have to choose, and I choose 10. Though I've broken the fragile threads of her trust, I will make amends. I will be better. She is my family now, and I'll prove it.
Troika. From A_P_5/23.43.2 to T_L_2/23.43.2 R_A_5/40.5.16. Subject. We've got problems. First, I'm using a stronger wattage, so hopefully this will reach you. Second, try not to crap yourself. I'll do the same. Remember how I told you that two generals joined Ron and Deacon and Clementine at one of the warehouses? And do you also remember how you told me that Myriad was sending people to kill the abrogates? Well, Myriad sent more than a few people. They sent an army. A battle broke out at all 18 warehouses. We were winning, until Myriad decided to bomb the warehouses, killing their own people. Many of the abrogates are dead, their spirits now in Myriad. General Ying Wo is dead as well. General Alejandro is missing. Also, yep, there's more. Sloan was killed. I'm so sorry. I know you loved her. Perhaps this will lessen the blow. She fought like a true warrior. The humans we managed to save, we saved because of her. Or perhaps that doesn't lessen the blow. Death is death. Deacon is inconsolable. What's worse? Yep, there's still worse. Penumbra has already begun to spread among humans and spirits. I'm sorry, but I won't be sending you any more light just in case I'm tainted. You've got your own darkness to handle, and I don't want to risk contacting you grid to grid either. We're in crisis, 10, trying to cleanse our infected. We're new conduits and we're struggling, even with the princess's help. We need you. Please come home. In Myriad, you are nothing but a target. Light brings sight. Archer Prince, conduit of conduits. Yeah, I said it, and I stand by it. P.S. Biscuit says, hi, hello, how are you? I miss you like crazy. Where are you? I want to be with you. Please come home soon or I'm going to start peeing on your friends.
Chapter 18.
Be true to your desires. Be true to yourself. Myriad. 10. As Javier carts me through the town square, he calls, "Meet Tenley!"